Question from Premraj Prabhu. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 9:26, the Lord says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I'll accept it. In this verse, the Lord has specifically mentioned which part of tree we can offer. So my question is, as the Lord has not mentioned that we can offer roots of the tree, then why do we offer potato and other roots? Answer: this verse is not a exhaustive dieting list or a dietary prescription of what all can be eaten and what all cannot be eaten. It is indicative. So it indicates, the most striking thing that Srila Prabhupada points out from this verse is that there are no non-vegetarian foods mentioned over here. And all the parts of the all the items that are mentioned are vegetarian. So at the same time, if we look at the context of the Bhagavad Gita, where this is spoken, Krishna is primarily comparing devotional service to himself with worship of the demigods. So prior to this, in 9.20.21, Krishna tells about how the fruits of the worship of demigod are temporary. Then 23rd verse, he says how the fruits of 22nd verse, he says how the fruits of worshipping him are eternal. Ananyas chintayantoma. Then in 23rd, 24th and 25th verses, he describes how he is the ultimate goal of all yajnas. And those who do not understand it will fall back. And now, Ahami sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha, he has told earlier, it's two verses ago. Now he is telling that actually, that through all those yajnas, the worship of his that offer happens is indirect, because he is not worshipped directly in the yajnas, and the results are temporary if people do not know if that he is the ultimate goal. And in contrast with that, he says, my worship is eternal, and my worship can be done so simply. So to indicate the simplicity of what can be done, of how his devotional service can be performed, the Lord gives examples over here. And he says that patram pushpam phalam toyam. Now if we go into a literalistic extreme, we could say that everything is in singular over here. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. There is no patrani pushpani phalani. There are no plurals over there. Now, does that mean that we are meant to offer only one flower, one fruit, one leaf? And if you take it further, then that if we are only to eat, that is offered to Krishna. So, if we offer him only one flower, are we meant to eat only one flower or one fruit? No. These four items which Krishna mentions primarily indicate how his worship is so simple. One doesn't need to do any elaborate rituals. And as far as a dietary prescription is concerned, we have to look at other books which talk about the Vedic culture. You know, when Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna, they are on a war field. And Arjuna's primary question is, should I fight or should I not fight? And to answer that question, Krishna compares various spiritual paths and analytically establishes the supremacy of bhakti to him. But then, Bhagavad Gita is an emergency book. It's just 700 verses. Although for us, studying 700 verses may take a long time, but as compared to the 1,000 verses, 1 lakh verses that are there in the Vedic literature, 1 lakh verses that are there in the Vedic literature, and Bhagavad Gita is quite small. So the primary purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is not to give a elaborate manual about what all one should do in life. Arjuna lives in a culture where he knows the various spiritual paths. He knows about karma yoga, he knows about jnana yoga, he knows about bhakti yoga. His confusion is which path he should follow. And for that purpose, Krishna compares various paths and endorses the path of bhakti as the most recommended. And one of the reasons why the path of bhakti is recommended is that it is so simple, it is so easy to perform. One just has to offer simple food items that are cheap, easily available and natural. So that is what is illustrated in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So like that, if you see the nine limbs of devotional service, Shravanam, Kiranam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, these nine are mentioned explicitly in the Bhagavatam. They are hinted at in the Bhagavad Gita in some verses like 10.9, but they are not exhaustively described. So if the direct limbs of bhakti are also not exhaustively described, then what to speak of an extensive list of the items of diet? So now somebody might argue that, then can we say that if this is only indicative, meat can also be included? No, elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about foods in the three modes in the 17th chapter, at that time he clearly indicates by the qualities that foods which are involving violence and bloodshed, they are actually in the lower modes, and that's why they are not to be taken. So this list is indicative of the kind of diet that we have. And whether a particular food item comes from the root or from the shoot of a plant, that is immaterial. As long as it is a natural food product and it is in the same category as the fruit products that are mentioned over here. It's vegetarian, it's naturally available, and it's easy to get. And it is made with as less violence as is possible. So that's why this verse is not an exhaustive list of what all we can have. It is indicative, firstly, of the kind of food that Krishna accepts, and secondly, indicative of the simplicity of the process of bhakti. And to understand the details of devotional life, we need not only to study the Bhagavad Gita, which is just a emergency book telling us what path to follow. Now we have to associate with those who are living the Vedic culture, and from them we will understand how to practice devotional service. From the Bhagavad Gita, we will understand which path to practice and why. But for understanding how to practice that path, we have to refer to other scriptures, and more important than other scriptures is, we have to live with those who are living the Bhagavad Gita, and then we will understand what all is to be practiced with respect to the limbs of devotional service, including food. Thank you.